Hello and welcome to Plot Trysts.
This is Lane.
This is Meg.
And today we're reviewing In Want of a Viscount by Lorraine Heath.
This was published in 2024 and is the third book in The Chessmen, Masters of Seduction series.
We have read the other three and two in the series so far.
Have we? We have read the other two. We have an episode on the second one, not the first one.
Yes. And we did receive a complimentary ARC for this review.
Yeah, thank you, Avon. We appreciate it. I will start with the book jacket, yeah?
Yeah.
American Leonora Garrison has come to England in desperate search of investors to keep her family business afloat, but instead finds surprising pleasure when she visits an exclusive ladies' club and dares to kiss a stranger who leaves her yearning for more. With a libertine for a father, Viscount Wyeth, more commonly known as Rook, vowed to live his life above reproach, with nary a hint of disgrace.
Until one night, he takes a mysterious beauty into his arms, a lady who tempts him to cast his sterling reputation aside in favor of more wicked pursuits. When fate reunites the couple, they are torn between desire and duty. Leonora may want the Viscount, but she needs a stakeholder, not a lover. When caught in a compromising situation that places everything they hold dear at risk, they must determine how best to win. However, in this scandalous game, nothing except love takes all.
It's, to be completely honest, it's perfectly fine as a book jacket. Like, this is what happens in the book, you know?
Yeah, it could potentially spoil a little more than a book jacket would want to, but in a vague enough way that I think it gets away with it.
Yeah. I mean, I will tell you that I read the book jacket and I read a couple of other reviews before I read the book. And I knew what was going to happen. Like, it says right here that they're caught in a compromising situation, blah, 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 right? And I'm going to be honest, I thought that was going to be like the first encounter.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it leaves it a little vague, but if you've ever read a romance before, the jacket spoils through about the 70% mark.
Yep. It's a little lengthier than you might expect.
Yep.
As usual, we generated a random number between 1 and 50, and then we wrote our own summaries using that number as a word count. And for this episode, the number we generated was 21. I'm interested to see if we come up with anything different than the book jacket. I know I didn't. So really, I'm wondering if you came up with anything different.
Some stuff that's not there.
I'll go with mine first. All Nora wanted was a kiss. Too bad the guy she's asking to invest in her project is yesterday's anonymous kisser.
I really enjoyed that setup.
Uh-huh.
And I think we'll end up talking about today is how this compares to other Lorraine Heaths for us.
Yeah,
and I
for sure
will say the way this was set up really worked for me.
Yeah, me too. There were
and
some.
I'm glad you got it out in your summary.
Absolutely, and there were some elements we'll talk about it that did really work for me in this book. So
I completely agree.
All right, what's your 21 word summary?
Nora's going to London for investors. Her family is going to marry her off. If only peers with money weren't hot.
I know, it's just the worst when you really don't want to do what your mom tells you to do, but it turns out that actually it's the best thing in the world.
Yeah, so I think that this sort of gets at one of the weaker parts of the book for me.
Yeah.
Nora's a woman who works for what had been her father's company until he passed, and she's sort of the brains of the operation and an inventor who's been charting a new direction for the company, let's say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And one of the things I really struggled with in this book is you were told a lot of good things about her father and brother particularly,
mm-hmm.
but then their actions presented them as very different people. And I don't necessarily think Lorraine Heath intended for us to think Leonora was wrong.
That was a tough element for me too. I was like, what am I supposed to be taking away from this? Because there were times when Rook would be like, hey, like, what do you think about this?
Right.
And, you know, and she'd be like, well, but that's not how it ended, right?
I don't think Lorraine Heath was critical enough of some of the shitty people in Leonora's life.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I agree with you. So what are the tropes of this book? One of them. Yes. Go ahead.
Well, as you said in your summary, the setup is she's never been kissed. So she puts herself in a position to be kissed. And then he wants to keep kissing her.
Yes. It's a kissing lessons book. So she asks him for, she goes to this club, she gets an anonymous kiss, and then when it turns out that they're seeing each other socially, he's like, well, we could kiss some more, like, we could just do some more kissing, you know? Like, don't you want to have some more, like, see how, what other things kissing can be like? That was so much fun. I really liked it.
Well, and I will say, we'll get to this a little bit more in sexiness, but I think it's worth stating here. We've had problem with consent in some of Lorraine Heath's books in the past. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like part of what made this kissing lessons book so hot is every time they wanted to ratchet it up, he got her explicit consent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one of the biggest issues we had with the last book was that there were consent issues, but not necessarily consent, like sexual consent.
Right.
And in this book, it was like consensual and in every respect all the way around, you know?
Yep.
So no issues.
I don't always expect that with Lorraine Heath, and I was mm-hmm. very pleasantly surprised.
Mm-hmm. So I wrote one of Lane's favorite tropes, Sins of the Father, here. It's not one of her favorite tropes. It's her little shorthand for it that I think is cute.
Yeah, basically, he is one of those people whose dad is a piece of shit. And so he's decided, one, that he will live his life in the way that is opposite his father, knowing that people will still judge him for his father's behavior.
Yep.
But also that he takes his father's burdens upon himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I do overall enjoy this trope. However, I don't enjoy it when it's taken to the Duke of Hastings extreme as it is here, where because of the shitty person the father was, the bloodline dies with him.
Yeah. Right. It doesn't go quite that far here, but yeah.
Like, it does.
A little bit.
I mean, no, he doesn't trick her into thinking that all sex is pulling out.
Yes. Correct.
But he does think, the bloodline dies with me.
Yeah. Yes, he does think that. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't think like, well, now that I'm married, I guess I'm just going to pull out every single time and she's not going to know what I'm doing.
He doesn't think of ways to keep the lies going post-wedding day.
Correct. Let's see. Oh, yes. She's not like other girls, which is it got a little frustrating. I felt like it was okay kind of in the beginning because she was more like, well, it wasn't something she was proud of, right? She was like, this is how I am. And
well, and what attracted him to her, to him to her, the attraction didn't seem to be based on just all other women are insipid.
Exactly. He was like, I like her. She happens to not be like other people, but other people aren't worse than her.
She's unconventional, and I find the ways in which she is unconventional charming. Not all other women are horrific conversationalists who bore me to tears. Why would I ever be interested in shackling myself to one?
Yeah. Actually, it's interesting. This is 2024. I do feel like Lorraine Heath is doing a pretty good job of presenting a lot of different kinds of women.
Yes.
Which I really appreciated because, like, her mother is horrible. She's a husband hunting parvenu, right?
Right.
The worst kind. She's abusive and neglectful, and she's like terrible. But we also have other women. So, like, the other wives of the other chessmen who we see are included in their business decisions. Things like that. So I appreciate
even his mother is a very different character than any of the other women on the page.
Yeah. So I do think she did that really well. And it wasn't just like we have this one, she's not like other women, heroine character.
I agree.
Everyone else is horrible. So I think For those reasons, I don't think this was like an annoying deployment of the trope.
I love the setup you're giving here that our listeners will not appreciate.
You're welcome.
Yep. Hey, Meg.
Yes?
You got to do this one.
I was trying to leave it till the end, just like Lorraine did, but Rook is a virgin hero.
And he's one of those virgin heroes in the mold we have been really enjoying lately, that all sexual engagement is sex, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's penetrative.
Exactly. So, I mean, like the book jacket says, his father is a womanizer. He's terrible. He wants to be the opposite of his father. So he doesn't, his father has fathered like hundreds of bastards, right?
Like, in all probability.
Yeah. Like I'm not overestimating and I'm not exaggerating the number of illegitimate children his father has had. Mm-hmm. And so Rook's obvious solution to this is just, he doesn't want to have any illegitimate children. And so the solution is, I will not have penetrative sex with anyone ever.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that he doesn't have sex.
Right.
He even tells her, there's this one part, he's like, I want to show you like how we can fuck without fucking. And I was like, yes.
And then when you found out he had never fucked with fucking, you were like, excuse me?
And like literally, okay, this is, I mean, maybe it's a spoiler. I don't know, you guys, because she literally does not disclose this. She, as in Lorraine Heath, does not disclose this until the final chapter of this book.
Like after they've had sex.
Yes. It's kind of hilarious and amazing. And when I put this on the schedule, I was like, Lane, I want you to know, like, it's not because of this one thing that's going to happen. And she's like, what? And I'm like, you'll find out. I was like, I don't want to spoil it for you, but that's not the reason I put this on the schedule. It really wasn't, guys, okay?
I believe you, because it's not delved into to the degree you would usually want it to be.
Correct.
Even though it's for the reasons you really appreciate.
Yes, yes. Are there any other tropes?
So as the book jacket states pretty explicitly, they are compromised and forced to wed. Mm-hmm. And there is a sequence after that where there's a moment of one-sided goodbye sex.
Secret goodbye sex.
Secret goodbye sex.
It's been a while since we read a secret goodbye sex scene.
For those of our listeners who maybe aren't familiar with our back catalog, secret goodbye sex is when two people are fucking and one of them has it in their head the whole time. This is the last time I'm walking away for whatever reason. I'll be gone in the morning, but they can't know.
Yeah.
That's secret goodbye sex. If they both know it's goodbye sex, it's just normal goodbye sex.
Yes. Correct. Yes. Okay. Did you like this book?
I had fun. I had quibbles.
Yes.
But it is definitely not batshit.
Yeah. 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 It's not batshit enough for me to be like, oh my God, I love this book. But it wasn't problematic enough for me to be like, ugh, I hate this book.
Yeah, we'll talk about some things that I struggled with, but overall, I think the setup had me along for the ride, and the sexiness had me along for the ride.
Yeah, I had a ton of fun with the book. There is, I mean, the setup is this sex lessons, and then he continues it. And by sex lessons, it's really kissing lessons. Like, it really is, like, meet me in the conservatory, meet me in this nook, meet me on the balcony. And they just, like, make out, and it's very sexy makeouts, you know?
And props for location.
Yeah. 100%. It was great. It was really fun. Like, was there a lot of relationship development? No, because all they did was like meet and make out. But it was so much fun.
Overall, like, to TLDR this entire review, it's worth checking out.
Yeah, 100% for sure. I had a great time, especially when compared with some of Lorraine Heath's other books.
That said, Lorraine Heath is one of those authors where all of her books take place in the same universe.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I have read every book in the Chessmen series, a lot of Rook's backstory apparently happened in a previous series.
Oh, yeah.
So Rook's father, as Meg said, was a prolificate womanizer, I can't talk tonight, who fathered a bunch of bastards, a bunch of his father's bastards were in this previous series that involved one of his, actually a full biological brother who was born to his parents when his mother was still a mistress.
Yes.
Like, going through all this shit with their parents. So I will say, I was confused at various points. Not confused enough to go read a whole additional series. But if you are somebody who, like, likes to begin at the beginning, Lorraine Heath is a tough one to dive into the middle of.
Look, I'm going to be honest. I am not a person who needs to begin at the beginning. And I was like, wait, his brother, their mom? What?
Yeah, it took a lot of flipping back and some Googling and, like, going to Lorraine Heath's bibliography on her website.
Yeah, it wasn't the fact that they had the same dad. It was the fact that they had the same mom. And right. Then Brooke is the younger brother who's going to be the girl.
Yeah, and the fact that his older brother, whose name's Aiden's, entire married into family has six people who have apparently all been in the series before, and many of them appear on this page as not just throwaway characters.
Yes, it's confusing.
Like, honestly, I think whatever book series Aiden took part in probably mattered more to reading this one than the previous Chessmen books.
Oh, 100%. The other Chessmen are barely even in this book.
Yeah, so just a heads up, if you're like, oh good, this is the next one in a series I have read. If you haven't read the True Love series, good luck.
Good luck. Good luck, guys. Seriously. Yeah.
So can we talk about where I struggled a little bit? Because I think, I don't mean to be dismissive, but the thing I liked is that it was fun. And that it was sexy. Sexiness is a whole different section of our podcast, so I don't want to give that away here. So I feel like I'm about to trash on it, when in reality, I think it's worth reading.
Yeah.
But so I just want to, like, give that disclaimer. It was more fun than frustrating, but I don't have a lot of specific points for the fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I do for the frustrating. So, like, one of the things I struggle with Lorraine Heath is that I think a lot of times her characters don't feel like they're organically responding to the stimuli they're being given, whether it be their environment or the behavior of a different character. Mm-hmm. And when it's like the fully batshit books, a la Gorilla Twins, fine. You know, like, the fact that everybody is acting like they've been given a different script kind of makes it fun.
Right.
But in a book where I'm supposed to be, like, getting really attached to the characters, it does feel a little whiplashy.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about how her and her dad and her brother particularly felt like the people we were told they were and the people we were shown they were completely different people.
Right.
But the way they respond to getting compromised did not seem very organic to either character.
Well, not, like, with the whole development and everything that happened in the book up until that point.
Right.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff that happened, like, reflecting on his father and his dynamic with his biological non-legitimate brothers.
Yes.
Was a lot of it just felt very, this should matter, so I'm going to put in some lines about emotional poignancy without doing any work to the buildup. So right. When I, like, thought too hard about this book is when it lost me, and not in a batshitty way.
Right. It's a really interesting point. I think part of it is our preference, which is that we really prefer these fun books. We prefer fun books that are funny and sexy, mm-hmm. and that don't lean into the angst, right?
Right.
And I feel like Lorraine Heath, as an author, feels like she needs to write really emotional, like, resonant stuff.
Right.
And I feel like this book would have benefited from not having that, right? Like, we don't need to have him dealing with the hundreds of illegitimate children that his father had. Like, we don't need that. It's okay.
Well, especially when, like, trope, spoiler, what have you, this is one of those books where his father seduced away the only woman he's ever loved.
Right. And she shows up with an illegitimate kid.
Right. So, like, his dad is not just a dick who's fathered all these bastards. His father fucked the only woman he ever loved because he could. His father married his mother specifically because he wanted a legitimate heir.
Yeah.
It was all very weird. Like, everybody was a caricature of themselves.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which is fine, as long as you don't expect more.
Right, right, right. Yes, yes. I didn't want, and then like, it, then the sex got angsty, because that was the thing too. The first 75% of the book, the sex is not angsty at all. It's like,
right.
This is great. We're having a great time. This is awesome. And then it gets angsty and you're like, wait, what? No. No. Right. I was having fun.
Right.
But yeah, I totally think you're right. I hadn't really analyzed it, but I think that is the issue with this book. I think you're correct.
Again, super fun book, mostly fun setup and situations. It doesn't seem as angsty as it is because no one is behaving like it's angsty.
Yeah.
But not in a way that makes sense.
Right. Right.
All right. Content warnings.
I mean, his dad is a real, he's a dick. He's not only, so he has affairs with anyone he can, like literally anyone he can. He gets them pregnant and then he sells the babies to baby farms.
Yep.
And if the mother doesn't want to sell the baby, then he just cuts her off. He's like, fine, like no child support for you.
And a lot of times their families end up disowning them and the women end up in dire straits.
And I know I'm laughing at this content warning, but it's because it's so over the top and ridiculous that it does not feel like something that could actually happen.
I'd also add that it is heavily implied the father killed his first wife.
Oh, yeah. And then that he was gonna kill his current wife, except, I don't know, she managed to not get killed.
Well, that's what's in Aiden's book that we haven't read. Basically, the plot of Aiden's book is how this woman did not end up dead.
Yeah.
So this novel tells you that she ended up not dead, but doesn't tell you how.
And the fascinating thing about their mother is that she allowed two of her children to be sold to baby farms.
Three of her children.
Three children to be sold to baby farms. And like, she feels bad about it. She wants to find them, but also she's presented very, very sympathetically, which I think is really fascinating and interesting on Lorraine Heath's part. Because I could see this being in a different book, mm-hmm. especially one written like 20 years ago. She would have been like this evil mother figure, right. You know? So I thought that was an interesting take.
She read is very underdeveloped in this book, but I don't want to say that as a fair criticism because she was a major player in a previous series.
Right, right. So like maybe she has this whole written backstory that we don't know.
Right.
But I mean, I was like, oh, because she was like, maybe you think I'm terrible for letting this happen. And her son is like, no, 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 like, not at all. And I was like, wow, that was interesting. I want to read more about it. But also not enough to look up Aiden's book.
Alrighty, so the strength of this book for the first 70%.
It's a sexy book. It's a real sexy book. And again, most of it, it's not penetrative sex that's sexy. It's like everything else. Like the making out is so sexy.
And how much agency she has is sexy, and the locations are sexy, and the emphasis on her pleasure is sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, when the Rubicon of penetrative sex is crossed...
I could not with that first scene, Lane. I could not. I was like, wait, wait, what am I reading?
All right, guys, I'm just going to spoil it from here on out, like for realsies. So thanks for listening, but we're going to spend the last 3 minutes talking about this moment. So first of all, they're at the night her invention gets premiered.
Yes.
She sneaks out because she's getting overwhelmed. And he follows her into a fucking glass-walled greenhouse that everyone can see into from every angle.
Yeah, he sure does.
He then proceeds to decide the moment they both are going to have penetrative sex for the first time is... on the table in the middle of the clearly visible greenhouse.
Yeah.
And immediately as he slides it in, they are walked in on by several people. And there is a whole conversation where he is definitely still inside her.
Yep.
And yes. It was uncomfortable.
It was uncomfortable to read, and it must have been real uncomfortable in the moment for Nora and for Rook.
Yup.
But like the thing was, too, it wasn't sexy leading up to that either. It wasn't like they got carried away. It was like all of a sudden he was like, I'm getting in you right now. And she was like, okay. Like, there wasn't anything.
It was as abrupt as all of the other sex scenes had been languorous.
Yes. Yes. And that was, I think, the thing, too. Everything else had been so, yeah, you're right. So, like, lush and languorous and, like, really focusing on how much time they spent together. And then all of a sudden, there's this one scene where he's just like, I can't. I guess, like, he had blue balls from all of the other sex scenes, and he's like, okay, gotta take care of it right now.
In the worst, most inappropriate moment, like, the first scene where they go beyond kissing, they get a private room at this club, only one person knows where they are, and, like, can head off the... Like, it was so meticulously planned, even if it was spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
That the idea of them losing control in this moment, when she is, like, there because she is emotionally drained,
mm-hmm.
felt like Lorraine Heath was like, this is the moment they get caught, without any thought to what else was going on in the plot.
Like, this is it. This is it. This is the one. And I mean, okay, fine. It was what it was, right? But it was disappointing. It was not it. I was very disappointed.
Agreed.
And then the next one was the secret goodbye sex. Their wedding night, also secret goodbye because she's leaving. And that was it. So up until like 70% of the book, Lane and I were both really into it, feeling it, loving this book. So much fun. After that, it was like, okay, let's. How is this going to end?
I needed it to go more fully off the rails.
Yes, 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 yes. I agree.
I'm not going to ask Lorraine Heath to stay on the rails. I know that's too much to ask for.
No, she doesn't need to be on the rails. It just needed to go... Yeah.
She needed to, like, invent the spaceship or something.
We could send a man to the moon.
Yeah, like, it needed to go full unhinged.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, I mean, I don't even know. He pretends to be an investor.
Because that's the way that they're going to expose that her entire family is actually a crime syndicate.
Yes, something like that. And then it turns out that actually she's not, and he feels bad about it.
They're secretly French. I don't know. All right. Anyway, I'm tired, anyway. So I'm unhinged. Thank you guys so much for listening.
We would love it if you would rate, review, subscribe, and check us out around the internet wherever you can find plot twists.